Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time. Discussing the human condition. Providing a sounding board for mental health issues. And making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Welcome to Mental Health Perspectives with your hosts, Dr. John Huber and Kristen Sonata Walker. To learn more about Dr. Huber, like going to the website, mainstreammentalhealth.org, and you can learn more about Kristen by going to her website at mentalhealthnewsradio.com. Dr. Huber, Ms. Walker, welcome to your program. Topic of today is that this week, find out that Bill Cosby, once known as America's dad, is now convicted on three counts of sexual assault. He's going to prison. And for a lot of people who grew up watching the Cosby Show, this is probably going to have a devastating effect because, you know, how many other role models are going to fall? So, let's start with you, Dr. Huber. What would you think is the psychological impact of seeing a role model that you once grew up loving and admiring fall so heavily?
Well, it's another form of loss, whether, you know, this person didn't really die, but figuratively the character they played died. That role that they had in your mind is now damaged, and it's a loss. So we typically will go through the same sorts of rationalization, the anger, the frustration, and eventually we'll get to acceptance. But I think in a lot of ways we have even more of a deeper core, because one of the problems with Bill Cosby and his character, Dr. Huxtable, was a lot of children grew up watching his show thinking, you know, my dad's not around. I don't have a dad. I don't have a father. And when I grew up, that's how I want to be. That's the kind of person I want to be as a partner, or I want to find as a partner. And I think that scares a lot of people, because a lot of people did try to find that, and maybe they're in a position where they feel that, and now they're doubting the veracity and validity of the person that they know, and it's part of their real life. I can see some serious issues coming up in the near future in a lot of people's lives.
Agreed. I think, I grew up watching it as well, and for me, it wasn't this big shock, but, you know, I grew up with that kind of a father where the public saw one face and the private was very, very different. So it wasn't as big of a shock. What's been interesting for me to be more on, to be way on the side of the victims in this case. And we actually interviewed one, Patricia Stewart, who came on our show. And we had told her, and I didn't even want to put his name in the title of the show. We didn't put his name in the title of the show because I thought, I don't want to give him any more attention. But what struck me is the amount of gaslighting and the years that these women and the public now, too, have had to just have their entire world shattered and no one believed them. And then to watch Bill Cosby get accolade after accolade after accolade over decades, it's so completely invalidating. And they have their victory now, but there's so much healing for them and for other men and women who've been abused in that way. And then for the rest of society that didn't understand that piece of it. Yeah, I can imagine this wallop of, wow, what happened? I modeled myself after a monster. What was real and what wasn't? It's a good reminder that television and the movies aren't real.
Well, I want to bring something.
Well,
but,
okay.
Sorry.
Well, I was gonna say, you know, television is fantasy, and a lot of times, you know, we see famous people out there, and we think we know who they are because we've seen all their movies or we've seen all their TV shows, and that is not that person. That is a role they play. And, you know, when I've talked to famous people who've been in that situation, people come up to them and, you know, they act like, you know, hey, you live on that ranch in your TV show and, you know, did you lose any cattle this week and all this? And they're like, no, I live in the city. I don't know what you're talking about here. You know, it's really bizarre. And a lot of the actors themselves, the entertainers, have problems with that, period.
Yes. Yeah, I can imagine.
What I want to ask you both is that even though Bill Cosby portrayed a person of honor and integrity on a show, the very fact that he was someone else, kind of like an evil individual beneath that, when a person is modeling themselves after a person that is seen on TV, could they actually be infecting themselves with that negativity just because of the fact that this person is portraying themselves to be good and also hiding it up? So when you model yourself after a person who you think they are, could you also theoretically be putting into your mindset, into your persona, what's happening on a subtle level, even on a deeper mental level? So even if you are modeling after someone and it turns out to be that the person there you're negative, do you think that some of the people who've admired Bill Cosby may have actually inadvertently adapted some of those qualities because they focused their attention on them too long?
Good question.
Thank you.
Dr. Huber, do you want to take that one first?
Well, I was going to hand it to you, but I think, you know, I look at it like the 6 or 7 to maybe 9-year-old kid who watches their parents go through a divorce. You know, on one side, they love both their parents deeply, but then they may go to one parent and stay with them during visitation, or maybe even both of them. And when they get in the car and they're by themselves with that parent, they start telling the children all the bad things that other person did, the other parent did. And all of a sudden the kids start incorporating that. Okay, well, at least if I'm half dad and he's that evil, then at least I'm half as evil as he is. And we start getting behavioral issues from these. And those behavioral issues, they end up in my office, you know, 35, 40 years later when they're in midlife going, you know, am I my dad or am I my mom? Or, you know, and not knowing really in the core of their person who they are. And it's troubling. And I can see that there's probably going to be a lot of people who have those same type of issues.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that thank goodness for developing that really core sense of yourself. That's another show that we could do on, you know, why is it that some people can be in these horrendous childhoods with an actual father like Bill Cosby, who's pretending to be wonderful.
Right.
And yet they thrive and do amazing things with their lives out of what was a horrible experience, and why other people don't. But the thing for me with Bill Cosby was, okay, there are a lot of actors out there that have played wonderful, iconic characters, and they were totally depraved human beings behind the scenes. What makes it different for me with Bill Cosby is that he also portrayed himself as this amazing humanitarian in real life. He wasn't just portraying. If he just did the Cosby show, I mean, he even used his own name. So he was really trying to hide. And that is what people like this do. I mean, they are the fox in the hen house. They absolutely, you find them as pastors, doctors. I mean, they, the biggest cover possible that they can have to hide their deviant acts, that's what they do. And they spend an inordinate amount of time. Imagine how much time and energy they could have spent in actually becoming a wonderful human being. But that's the piece that's different with him. he wasn't just an actor portraying a role. He did this in his personal life as well. And that is what I think is, makes this extra hard for people.
When somebody takes on a nice guy image and they're actually evil behind the scenes, does it take an inordinate amount of energy from a psychological perspective in order to compartmentalize that, in order to split your personality, in order to have this carefully constructed public persona and yet, you know, be evil behind the scenes? I'm like kind of curious to know if the person was true to themselves, how much more they could have accomplished had they not been, you know, splitting their energy, had they not been splitting their personas. To ask you that, Dr. Huber.
Well, if you look at the difference between, you know, what we call a sociopath or a psychopath, you know, the serial killers, the John Wayne Gacy's, and they got away with that because it didn't bother them. There was no stress associated with playing the different roles. And these individuals are, to a lesser degree, on that same line. It doesn't bother them to do that. If you're a normal, empathetic, caring, loving person who truly cares about their fellow human beings, it would keep you up at night. It would totally destroy you. You would end up with major issues with blood pressure, heart attacks, and all that kind of stuff. But at the heart of that individual, if they have those sociopathic tendencies, it's not an issue for them at all, and it's not a struggle for them. Kristen?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you want to this is why people fell in love with Bill Cosby, because you attribute all of your empathy and your good heart on
yes.
this person that's acting. And I mean, I remember saying to an NFL player, you know, my God, you're so charming sometimes and a brilliant manipulator. You could really, if you just channeled your energy into being a force for good, you could help a lot of people. And I realized later at the end of that relationship, because he absolutely hands down is a sociopath, I realized later he doesn't care about that. That was me, so, you know, putting my "wouldn't you want to do that" onto him. And the answer from him was no, he doesn't care. He just wants to pull the wool over the eyes of as many people as possible in order to get as much accolades and attention as possible. So that's the mistake we make as highly empathetic people, is that we think our empathy is also living inside that other person's heart. And a lot of times with these kind of people, it isn't.
It isn't. And we see that with a lot of actors, you know, that you hear them all the time. They kind of lose themselves in their characters. The ones who are able to lose themselves in the characters oftentimes are the ones who are very caring. They have to do that to convince that, you know, make that a convincing role. It's the ones who can just go from one character to the next and they don't, you know, it's nothing for them that I worry about.
Right, exactly. They can just wear someone else's clothes, drop it. That's where I notice with acting too, when the actor, you don't forget that the actor is in the role. You know, I can watch something with an actor that I love, Nicole Kidman, as an example, and I forget that it's Nicole Kidman because she's such a good actor and she's an empathetic human being from what I can tell. I don't know this woman, but other characters, other actors out there like Tom Cruise as an example, and I don't know him either, I can't forget that he's Tom Cruise. I just can't forget it. And I know, you know, the religion that he's involved in, and it's a highly narcissistic organism. So that's always something that's going to make me suspect how much does charm and knowing how to really manipulate people and to sort of push your will like Bill Cosby did onto other people and sort of put them under a spell, how much of that is coming from a place where you're really dead inside, and how much of that happens with people that really are charming at the core because they're empathetic. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you only have time for one more question. So I guess I'll throw it to you both, is what are the top three indications that your role model is probably a bad person? And we'll start with you, Kristen.
Oh, my gosh, that your role model is a bad person. Well,
yes, they're probably hiding something, because one of my most beloved teachers used to always say that when a person says that they are, you know, holier than thou, chances are they're probably hiding a lot of darkness.
Yeah. I would say look at their family history. Look at how many scapegoats went no contact with the family system that this person, you know, was at the head of. How do their kids feel about them and other relatives and friends? Also, a lot of bombastic talk. I know we're seeing a lot about Tony Robbins out there, and I'd look at who they hang out with, who they're sticking up for, and whether or not, you know, it's that they're just blind to what's going on, like some of the people that have supported Bill Cosby, that you go, wake up. And then just follow this trail of who is in their lives, who are they surrounding themselves with, and who do they stick up for and root for? Is it to continue abuse and keeping people quiet and being a bully, or is it that they're rooting for people that are actual victims and so on? That's what I would look for. What about you, Dr. Huber?
Well, I think that's you brought up a couple of things that are very key. You know, who are their friends? Who do they associate with? That tells you a whole lot about an individual. Secondly, I would look at this person who has no need to tell you that they're a good person, or that they're super at this, or that they're smart and that's what they're telling you all the time. Because if they're telling you that and there's no real need for them to tell you that, chances are they don't believe it themselves. They're trying to convince themselves more than they're trying to convince you. And those two things, who are your friends? And then do you try to convince everybody that you're the smartest person in your neighborhood, or smartest of your friends, or the nicest of your friends, or the most caring of your friends? If you're having to do that all the time, your actions speak louder than words. Your actions should show that. And then you also, you know, someone who's empathetic and caring and concerned about other people doesn't have a need to go say, well, I'm smarter than all of you, because you might be hurting their feelings, you know, and maybe you are, and maybe you're not. So if they really are that way, they don't have a need to be pushing that on anybody, you know, and that's kind of hard a lot of times in entertainment, because we're asked to talk about ourselves. We're asked to tell our story. And, you know, so actors and radio show hosts and things like that kind of get an opportunity to do that on a regular basis, and it's part of what they do. So we kind of give them the benefit of the doubt in that situation, and maybe we should.
Right. Agreed.
Okay, everyone. Concludes today's edition of Mental Health Perspectives. Again, your host are Dr. John Huber, Kristen Sonata Walker. You can learn more about Dr. John Huber by going to his website at mainstreammentalhealth.org, and you can learn more about Ms. Sonata Walker by going to her website at mentalhealthnewsradio.com. Thank you both, and we'll see you back here next week.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram @ Mainstream Mental Health, Twitter @ Mainstream MENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.